time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. Nice to have you with us here the day before Thanksgiving. And if you're out there driving, be sure to be careful. It's starting to get wet, and that means the oil's coming out of the surface, and everything's going to be slippery. So make sure you're off to grandmother's house you go, that you're safe on your way. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne for Newsmakers, for local talk here at the NewsHour. And we have with us an exciting guest here today, a friend of mine, a friend of the community, Police Chief Jerry Moore of the City of Salem. We have so many things to talk about with the chief, a lot of things I think the people in the area should know about Salem Police Department and its building and its operations and its collaborative efforts and all sorts of things. Jerry, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. Tell us a little bit about yourself. So you just started being a cop like a year ago? How was it?
It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, how many?
I think this is your, I lose track after a while. I think this is your 42.
42, right. And still standing. That's pretty good. So, okay, give us a quick bio in terms of how did you go from first time you strapped on the blue uniform to being chief?
Well, I was fortunate right out of, I graduated from college, and I think I had a job within a month. I started my career over at with the Dallas Police Department over in Polk County, a great organization, and I really enjoyed it. But having grown up in Salem, I wanted to come back to Salem. I'd done a practicum here, and I thought it was a great place to work. So it took me about 2.5 years, and I came back to Salem, and I've been here ever since. I came up through the ranks. I think I may be, what I'm told, I may be the first homegrown police chief Salem's ever had. So,
wow. Well, we had the mayor on the show yesterday, and he said you're the best police chief in the nation.
Yeah, I told him to say that, I think. But no, that's a very nice compliment. There's a lot of great police chiefs that I look up to, so I'm not sure that's true, but it's a very nice compliment.
Okay, homegrown. You went to school here. You went to high school here.
Right.
Up here, right? And then what are the steps? You said you came up through the ranks. Tell us quickly what the ranks are.
Well, I've held every rank through the department as I worked here. I worked in the communications unit for a year as a supervisor. Most of my time was in patrol. I did some times in investigations. I was a burglary detective or a property crime detective. I worked in one of the drug units back then. One of the interesting things, we worked undercover for a little less than a year. We were buying stolen property from people undercover. And then we'd try and figure out where they got it and what homes they burglarized to do it, and then we'd arrest them after that.
I remember how much they were collecting when you were doing a lot of the meth eradication and all the meth houses they had busted and all the stolen items you had to try. And it was just vast amounts of items that you had to try to find owners for.
Right. Well, or victims that, for. Quite frankly, that continues today. There's still a huge meth problem. But after working that, I was promoted to corporal and then sergeant. I helped create the first street crimes unit here in town, and the time was pretty much, it was created that we could work on any problem that the city had. And but at the time, I think those that have lived in Salem for some time remember the drug and the vice issues we had out on Portland Road and State Street and downtown. And
led to some exclusion zones. Like
led
that.
To some exclusion zones and some creative ways to try and deal with issues. We'll never, at the time, we didn't have enough jail space. During my tenure in the street crimes unit, the Marion County Jail opened, and there was suddenly some accountability for some of the things that people were doing, and that certainly had helped us clean up that area. But it was a, you know, I've often said, in some respects, we lost control of that area because there was open air drug dealing and prostitution And it was a bad time, especially for the poor people that lived in that in those areas, because it was frustrating for them, and we were frustrated that we couldn't solve the problem. But those are difficult things to deal with.
Better times now?
Well, much better times out there, but I will tell you, this city still has a drug problem, and a lot of the crime that occurs is related to drugs. So,
All right, we're going to come back to that, because I want to let the people know, I would like you to tell us the progress in the police facility. Now, we went through a few years of planning this thing and community outreach and so on and so forth, and then I saw we broke ground. Right. So there's going to be a brand new police facility and get you out of the basement at City Hall.
That's right.
So how does that look like as far as timeline and vision?
Right. Well, the first thing I'd have to say about the facility is I'd want to thank the Salem voters for supporting that. That's a huge thing for us. We've been in City Hall. I say we. The city's been in City Hall since 1972. So I think by the time we move in what we believe is about 2020, we'll have been there for, 48 years.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, we are really excited. I've never been through a bond measure before, and I've never built a building. So this has all been new to me. And it's been interesting. It's been frustrating. I thought after the bond passed that we'd have a building up in about 3 months, but that's just not the way this world works.
It's one of those things that once you've done it and now you're an expert and now you have all this knowledge and experience, just in time to never need those skills again.
That's very well said.
I think that's how consultants are born, Chief.
That could be.
We're talking to Chief Jerry Moore of the Salem Police Department here at Studio KYK and Newsmakers. So go on. So 2020, we're going to have this building.
Right.
Is it just going to house lockers and police officers? What else is in the building?
Well, it's going to be a fully functional police facility that the likes of which no one that works there now has ever experienced. We have, I think, about 27,000 square feet in the basement or the first floor of City Hall. And in the new facility, we'll have probably around 104,000 square feet. So, the original estimates of what we needed were, quite frankly, 148,000 square feet on our first bond measure.
I voted for that.
Well, thank you. I did too. We talk about some of the issues when you've never gone through a bond measure or tried to build a building. I don't think, in hindsight, when we look back, I don't think we did a good job educating this community on the need. Mm-hmm. For that building, and clearly the second time we did a much better job, and the voters and from what I heard, the voters said, if you would have told us this, we would have voted for the first one, but it was my goodness, I recognize how expensive it is, and I understand paying taxes. I'm a Salem resident, and I pay them myself, so that's why I'm so proud of this community that they would step up for us. So it's been a long process. We even to this day, we're still working on plans. I think we have to finalize them in the next week or so, because they're going to start pouring the floors here fairly soon. So we're really close. When we passed the bond measure, we thought that we would have enough money, and then we find out as we go through this thing that building is all around the state is going crazy, so everything costs more.
Yes.
And so we're dealing with that. The original plan was that this would be 115,000 square foot building. It's down to 104, and we've got parking. We've got a variety of other things that some of them, there's nice to have and there's need to have. I think we're cutting into the need to have right now. So I'm wary of those things, because I don't want to get in a position where we build a building and it's full the day we move in, or we don't have the things we need. And I don't think that's what this community wants us to do.
I know I was one of the cheerleaders to say, build it right the first time. And when it comes to the community, when it comes to a hard asset like that, be they roads or a building, build it right the first time and build it for the next generation. Because I do not want to pay for another police facility in my working lifetime, or maybe even in my lifetime.
Right.
So I'm an advocate of, like, overbuild it a little bit.
Right.
Doesn't have to be the archives building.
Right.
Which is a fiasco from 20 years ago, if you're new to Oregon. But yeah, absolutely. Build it the size for us to grow into. So,
And I think that was, City Council was certainly understood that and was behind that and helped us with that. You know, we say, well, is it a, you know, we're trying to build a 30-year building or whatever. I certainly won't be there when that happens, but I'm telling you, if history is any predictor of the future, we're going to be in this building a long time, so it's good. Important that we have it
well,
made
I'm
right.
Well, I'm going to hope that you're there to cut the ribbon and enjoy that. We're going to talk to Chief Moore about a lot of things, his special units, his cooperation with the county sheriffs, recruiting and detention. All sorts of things here in Salem in our public safety. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers KYKN.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back. This is Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart here in the studio with Dave Bourne and our guest today, Police Chief Jerry Moore of the City of Salem. We're talking about the new police building, a whole facility going up, and that was quite a process. I'm going to go a little sideways here on the Chief and talk about the public process because it took a long time. We had TJ Sullivan in a week ago, and I know he chaired a community input stakeholder thing that went on about for about a year. It was frustrating as an outside observer because I was not involved in any of that, but they would have naysayers and everybody would say, yes, I see the need, but somebody wants it on Portland Road, but they lose the vote, but they won't stop bringing it up. And that was frustrating. It's like, okay, you had this idea, you're part of the community, the stakeholders are out here, they voted against you. Or we think we should be in the Civic Center property so we don't have to buy dirt. And then, well, there are the costs associated with that. What do we do with the parking? What do we do with the flooding? And da, 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 da. So the thing was pretty involved, but it was frustrating to see, and we talked about this yesterday, in Salem to get something done, you have to all work together. And every bond measure, from the fire bond 10 years ago, and they benefited actually from the construction costs of the time that you're hurting from right now. So you had naysayers that didn't get their way and wouldn't go on along for the public good. And I think that hurt us the first time the bond measure went out for the facility. But that through that process, it must be kind of frustrating to kind of flip-flop back and forth and a momentum and no momentum.
Well, yeah, and this has probably been a 10-year effort. When I think about it, I mean, we recognized many, many years ago we didn't have enough room, but I also recognize it's not easy to put a bond measure together, and the city has a lot of needs, so whether we waited in line for our turn, I don't know how best to describe that, but. We had a council that was interested in looking at it. We had a mayor that was interested, and that certainly helped us. The mayor put a task force together and of community members and a wide variety of people and great discussions. And what came out of that was we need to hire an architect or a consultant that knows something about building a police department, how big it needs to be, and so we did that. And then, of course, some people didn't like the results. They thought it was too big or it cost too much. And I understand all that. I understand the emotions of that. We already talked about paying taxes. And so we took it to council. We went out for the first bond measure, and it was defeated. And then we regrouped pretty quickly. Quite frankly, the community members and some of our community leaders came forward and said, you know, we missed the boat on that. We didn't support you well enough, and that's not going to happen again. And I think the second bond measure, we did a better job, and we more fully understood that we need to educate.
Well, nobody likes paying taxes. I don't like paying taxes. I didn't love seeing my property tax going up due to the Sam Kaiser, I think, bond measure with partly responsible for Last Jump, but there was so much misinformation in this day and age, and partially why we have this show for the area, so we appreciate it. But so much misinformation in these days of blogging and social media where somebody says, well, you should have done what Eugene did. Eugene did it cheaper. Yeah, but Eugene, they don't like what they did, and they told us not to do that. Well, the state police, they built a building. It was much cheaper. Yeah, but they needed to modify their building the day they moved in, and it's a totally different functional building. And all those things, people got into the community mindset, even though they would be one person's opinion. They'd be one person's opinion, or there'd be misinformation. That's frustrating. Let's leave that behind because it's exciting. It's coming up. It's coming to fruition. Does it make it easier to look to the future and recruit new candidates for the job?
Well, I think anytime you have a facility like that, I think people are going to look at that and say, boy, I'd like to work in that building. I think that people that are interested in law enforcement will certainly look at things like that. They'll look at the size of the department. They'll look at how the community feels about a police department. They'll look at a variety of things, I believe. Recruiting is different, though, nowadays, because in my day, you actually had to go to the department or the city and apply. When I realized I wanted to be a Salem police officer or a Dallas police officer, I went to the city of Dallas or I went to the city of Salem and I filled out an application and did my thing. Nowadays, people can test from out of state and they can push a button and the application goes to whatever organization they want it to go to. So recruiting is different. So in some respects, it's great because we get a wider range of applicants. And I guess in some respects, we lose that maybe that hometown feeling where you're applying to Salem because that's where you want to work.
Are more or less people wanting to be police officers in America today than 10, 20 years ago?
I don't know. I think policing has taken a beating over the last 5, 6, 8 years a little bit. And I think there's a lot of people that say, I would never do that. But we have a lot of people apply. Our testing process is very similar to most everyone else's, but it's interesting where we might have 300 people fill out an application and 150 of them will show up and take the test. And then we'll lose 50 or half of those people when they take the test. And then we will lose some more further into the process. So we might go from 300 applicants to a pool of 20 people that we can hire officers from.
Wow. And how many people in your department?
Well, we have 189 sworn authorized positions.
How does that compare in the number of this? I was sitting in city council 10 years ago. We were talking about how many police officers we have per thousand. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to other cities in America?
Well, in America, it's the ratio is way low. I think the national average is 2.5 per thousand.
Two and a half police officers, sworn officers per every thousand residents.
Exactly.
So, okay.
But in Oregon, it's probably similar. If you look at the bigger cities, we're probably at the lower end. When you were on council, we were probably talking about having 1.5 officers per thousand. Right now we have, I think, 1.1 probably.
Wow.
And so, I mean, if we wanted to get to 1.5, I'm not going to try and do the math in my head, but I'm going to guess it's 50, 60 officers if we were going to get to 1.5, something like that. So we recognize that isn't going to happen, but we certainly... I'm probably like every other police chief in the country. I never have enough people. I never have enough resources. And if you find one that says they do, then there's probably something wrong with them. But that's just the way of life. But recruiting wise, we've been very fortunate. I think we've hired in the last 5 years, we've probably hired 75 officers or so, which is a huge turnover for a police agency because there's a lot that goes into hiring people and there's a lot that goes into training that we can get into. But that is a huge piece of our organization that is just been hired in the last 5 years. And so,
well, depending on the field, and it sounds like law enforcement is one of them, where you spend an extraordinary amount on your personnel for them to you've made the investment, and then they move on to greener pastures or for whatever reason. So retention piece, keeping them in Salem and keeping them in the force, do you have them getting poached by other agencies? How does that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot that you've hired in 2 years for you have 180 sworn.
Well, that happens. You know, we get people that come from other agencies. People, they may have a life change. Their family may move to the West Coast from somewhere else, and they're looking for an organization to go to. Some people, they look for other opportunities or something different. So that happens. But I think our retention is actually pretty good. I would say in the last few years, we've lost a few people to other organizations, and we look at it and say, well, you know, that never used to happen. But I think the world changes a little bit, and I think that happens. But there is we don't like to lose people. You know, when we hire someone that's never been a police officer before, we're looking at a year before they
do any good to you at all.
Before they are really out, be able to go out and do what they have to do by themselves. And so you think about that commitment, and sometimes we've been very fortunate with the last group of people that we've hired because, you know, the majority of them have made it. But it's really tough when you train someone for a year and then things don't work out and you're not able to retain them. So that's our challenge.
And we have a generations coming up who think it's unusual to stay at a job for a long time, more than 2 or 3 years, that it need to constantly be on the move and a completely different culture. We're in the studio at KYKN with Police Chief Jerry Moore of the City of Salem. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we're going to talk to the chief a little bit more here for the rest of the hour about his relationships and with the county sheriffs, the differences there, and maybe a little bit about some community policing topics. This is Brent DeHart, KYKN.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. I always got to thank Dave Bourne here for putting a smile on my face before every session with the music you've managed to find.
I like
to
surprise
in.
You. Yeah.
I think that one got me and the chief as well, Chief Jerry Moore, here in the studio with us on this day before Thanksgiving. And we should all give thanks for the chief and all the effort that went into keeping our community safe and to expanding to our new police facility for Salem. Lots of things to talk about, so many things. One of the things I was leading up to is the relationship and the difference in the job between being a city police officer and being a Marion County or a Polk County sheriff. What's the biggest difference if you're going to go from one job to the other as far as your role and the culture?
Well, I think the jobs are similar in many respects. Law enforcement's law enforcement, but I think to me, the big difference is the rural areas, for me, would be a challenge. Those deputies are pretty much out there by themselves. Their cover is a long ways away. They deal with different issues than we do in an urban setting. But I think they do a great job. I think many times, just like us, they're understaffed, and it's very difficult. It's a very difficult job. I know those that recognize the issues in Polk County in the last 3 or 4 years when they couldn't even field deputies during certain hours of the day. I mean, that's a challenge for the sheriff, but it's also a challenge for his deputies, and it's a challenge for the people that live in that community, because law enforcement resources just didn't exist during certain hours of the day. So I think their jobs are similar to us. We work well together. I have a great deal of respect for both the Marion and Polk County sheriffs and their teams. And quite frankly, we have to work together. We're doing the same business, and sometimes each of us needs help, and we're able to provide
that. Let's touch on that, Chief. when you're in, so you're in Polk County near West Salem, and there's a call, and it's on the border. Does everybody respond? And the same with Marion County, because you could be on Lancaster Drive, and I'm patrolling in the city. Oh, I'm not in the city. Oh, I'm in the city. Nope, I'm not in the city. What the most infamous boundary that wakes people up is that Target is not in the city of Salem. It's right there next to Lancaster Mall. It's just off of Center and Lancaster, and it's not in the city of Salem.
Right.
But if there's a situation at the Target, do you respond as well as Marion County? And how do we – that collaborative event, and how does that come out in the wash?
Yep. Well, I don't know what's in and out on Lancaster myself because I don't do that anymore. I know my officers and the deputies are very well-versed in what's in. A call would go to the agency that if it's targeted, it would go to the sheriff's office because it's in their jurisdiction. But I will tell you, I think our officers and deputies in both Marion and Polk County, in the middle of the night, the lines don't really matter. If somebody needs help, they're going to be there. I know they listen to our calls, we listen to theirs. If they need help and there isn't one close, our dispatchers are sitting right next to each other, and they let them know that somebody needs help. We all have dog teams, and sometimes we need a dog, but Salem doesn't have a dog on duty, so Marion County or Kaiser will send a dog in to help us, and we'll do the same for them on a routine basis. None of us are big enough that we have everything we need, and none of us are dumb enough to know that we don't mind getting help from each other, and I think that's how all of us survive. So
you think, as far as, you know, let's just say, for instance, I might be a fiscal conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Is Salem getting its money worth out of that general deal? I mean, are we getting as much as we give, and or can you touch on that?
Oh yeah. I think it's all relative. I think every time we have an issue on the river during the summer, we call the Polk County Sheriff's Office and ask them to help us out. We don't have that resource, and they do a great job of patrolling the river and taking care of those issues. If they need if Polk County needs a SWAT team or a bomb team, we would certainly go out and help them. There's only so many resources, and we're pretty blessed in Salem. I think the city manager and the mayors and the council have done what they can to help us and keep us well staffed. I always say, we're a full service organization. We have teams and units that a lot of smaller agencies don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
like what?
Well, we have a
SWAT.
We have a SWAT team. We have a bomb team. We have a negotiators team. We have a mobile response team, which is basically the teams that go out and deal with protests and riots and such. And now those aren't full-time teams. Those teams are all made up of officers that have other responsibilities. Their primary responsibility isn't that, but I will tell you, there's a great deal of training and equipment that goes into that, and we're blessed to have those teams because there's certain times when we have situations that patrol doesn't have time or the ability to deal with. So when we can call a special team like that in, mm-hmm. we're very fortunate. And you ask about the cooperation, and whether it's fiscally responsible. I'll tell you what, when a deputy in Marion County calls and needs help, I'm not thinking about whether it's fiscally responsible. I'm thinking we got to go help this person. So I think we all get the same bang for our buck, I think.
Good. Well put. Let's shift a little bit to something that's people are really paying attention to right now, is homeless. And we have a situation that we did not have 15 years ago and probably even 10 years ago that's increasingly challenging and increasingly pervasive. Could you help us understand what police can and cannot do with a homeless situation, with an individual who is on the streets or mm-hmm. in a park or on the sidewalk?
Right. Well, I guess it depends on the situation, but a lot of people, we get, over the years, we've had a lot of complaints about people standing on the side with a sign or people asking for money and things. As they're walking downtown or wherever they might be. And quite frankly, those things aren't illegal, and there really isn't anything we can do about it.
the U.S. Constitution and allows for free speech, and that's considered free speech.
So even in Oregon, we're subject to the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, go on.
So, but I know there's a, you know, this is what I would tell people. I have a great deal of empathy for people that are homeless, and I don't think any of us would really like to be in that position. I don't think anyone grows up and says, you know, I hope someday I have to sleep on the street or I have to do this. So I have empathy for them, but I also have a great deal of empathy for business owners and people that own in an area about people sleeping in front of their sidewalks or in front of their businesses. Right. And many of the people that are homeless suffer from addiction or mental health issues. So sometimes their behavior isn't what many people would consider normal, and it's frightening and it's disturbing to them. And so do we have the tools to deal with all that? If it's criminal, of course we do. But if it isn't criminal, what we try and do is offer resources, mm-hmm. or offer the ability to be connected with resources and try and give these people some hope and try and get them the assistance that they need to maybe recover from that. You know, I think there's a reason many people are homeless, and I've touched on some of the issues. I think if you talk to most of them, they would say this isn't the lifestyle I want to lead.
It's pretty limited to what you and your force can do.
That's exactly right. But I mean, there's a great deal of social service organizations. Many times with the homeless, though, we talk about the hardest people to house. Many times we'll offer and offer and offer, as will social service organizations, but they're not interested. Some of them live the lifestyle that they want to live, and that's what they're going to do. And that's sometimes what we see, for instance, in the downtown area, where people see the same community sees the same people, they see the same activity, and it's just difficult for us in a community to deal with.
Could you touch and do a little education for me on what community policing is and the concept of precincts that we have in larger city that doesn't necessarily fit us? Didn't give you a lot of time to talk about it, but there are phrases that get thrown around, and we could benefit from you explaining them to us.
All right. Well, I haven't used community policing in a long time, but I will tell you, we look to get to the basics of an issue that we're dealing with. In other words, we don't want to keep going back to the same problem over and over and over again. We want to try and solve it the first time we're there. Now, that doesn't always help or happen because maybe we can't, but that's part of it. And then the other part, I think, is that we're involving the entire community in trying to help us. We don't have enough eyes and ears. We don't have all the resources we need. So we need a neighborhood and a community to work with us in trying to solve problems. You know, whether it's a drug house or whether it's a problem hotel or whether it's people living on the street, whatever it might be, I think we try and get everyone involved that might have a resource that can help us. You know, we don't have food for people. We don't have counselors. Well, a little bit. We don't, but we're police officers do a lot of counseling, but that isn't our main role. We don't have a place where they can live. We don't have medical supplies for them, but we know who does. And I think that's part of community policing, is that we're going to connect people to the resources they need rather than just go say, we don't have that. There's nothing we can do for you. So.
I know it was a big deal with No Meth, Not My Neighborhood, that dates back now 12 years or so. for the community to let you know when activity was. It was nighttime activity. It was in and outs. There was clutter. There was, you know, blacked out windows. Anything that seemed that kind of suspicious activity. Are you getting enough of that in the community as far as your eyes and ears and getting people to tell you when things are happening in their neighborhood?
Yeah, I truly think we do. Now, whether we have the resources to get to them all as quickly as people would like, that's another story. But that's the way life is. I think people are well-versed in understanding if you have an issue in your neighborhood, give us a call. Or if you're in a neighborhood meeting, tell the officer that's there. We'll get to those houses. No one wants to live in fear, and no one wants to be concerned that if they leave their house, somebody's going to break into it because of what's going on at their next-door neighbor. Mm. So I hope people will call and tell us those things. Sometimes our patrol officers know where those houses are just as well as the neighbors do, but sometimes they don't. And unless somebody calls and tells us and lets us know what's going on at those houses, then we're not going to know. And many times, they're very difficult to deal with. If we can't just go in and kick somebody out of a house.
Right. Yeah.
And so those are the types of things we have to deal with.
Well, thank you. We're talking to Jerry Moore, police chief of the city of Salem, someone who spent his whole life doing something that I would be terrible at. There's a few things that I'm good at, and I would be a terrible police officer. You know, man's going to recognize his shortcomings. So appreciate what you've done. We're going to come back here. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. We got one final segment here before the top of the hour. You guys get to listen to Kevin Jackson, 1 to 3. This is Brent here with Dave and Police Chief Jerry Moore. Hitting a lot of topics here. I could talk all day about public safety as one of the primary things that a government does for us. And I think I said it yesterday, actually. If we're not doing public safety well, there's little reason to go on to the other roles of government. So I'm a big proponent. A funny story, actually. I ran for city council in 2004 on a strong public safety kind of message, right? Fire and police, public safety, budget at first, the jail and all this. And then I got picked for jury duty. And I'm sitting there, and they're picking out jurors, this and that. And it was a criminal case. It wasn't a parking ticket. It was a violent sexual crime. And I'm sitting there like, well, they're going to throw me out. I'm an elected official, and da da da. I got picked. I'm like, seriously? If I'm the DA, I'm like, or if I'm the defense, I'm like, I don't want that guy. But anyway, funny. Anyway, I'm happy to support the police and the police chief, and happy to have you here in the studio today. Talking about a little bit of the break, there's so much controversy around policing in America, and there's so much angst, and frankly, it's polarizing. Where suddenly you have incidents happen and suddenly the entire profession is colored in one way. And to the point where, nationwide, are we even going to trust them anymore? And fortunately, we haven't had that kind of incident and that kind of ignite into riot kind of controversy. It is related, however, to the conversation about cameras, body cams, and how that keeps accountability and for you and for the citizens in terms of what actually went down. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I understand all those. I understand those discussions, and I've had them with all of our officers during our in-service about body cams. I think in our case it comes down to some financial issues because a body cam program is not an inexpensive program, and a lot of the equipment is one thing, but the storage and the redaction and the public records requests and some of those issues would probably cost me two or three officers' salaries just to be able to fund those things. Wow. So we've haven't pushed to go to body cameras. so far because of that. Now, and I think a lot of people look at body cams as the end all to be all. That if we have body cameras, it's going to solve all the problems. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I understand, and our officers, I think, understand if they had a body camera, they'd wear it. I mean, somebody probably would love it, and some of them probably wouldn't, for a variety of different reasons. But if we said we're going to body cam program tomorrow, we'd have body cams, and our officers would take care of that business. I often worry, though, as these times have gone on, about when do you turn the camera on and when do you turn it off? I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go have a body camera on when we're interviewing a victim of a sexual attack or a child or something. And I've talked to some chiefs around the country that said we turn it on the minute we get to work, and we turn it off when we go home. And I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think the privacy of some people and the issues they're dealing with doesn't need to be fodder for everyone to watch on YouTube. And so those have been some of my concerns. And I know we're running out of time here, but I will tell you, we talk about distrust of police, and I've talked with my officers about that, and I will tell you, every one of them will tell me, Chief, I hear what you're saying, but that isn't the way it is in Salem. And he said, 5-6 times a day, people stop us and thank us for what we do. And I tell them, well, there's a reason that happens. It's because the way you police this city and how you do it. And I think that's really important. I couldn't thank this community enough for the support they give us. And as I tell my officers, you know, this community wants to love you, but you got to give them a reason.
So how do you perceive the ethnic and the racial relationships between your force and the public? And are there tensions there, or is it more or less than we see in the other areas of the country?
Well, it's hard for me to I think it's a lot less than it is in some parts of the country from what I read and what I hear and chiefs I talk to in other areas. I think we've worked hard to make sure that we have a relationships with all parts of our community. And when you have a relationship, rather than jump up and down and call someone to complain, you call the police first and say, hey, chief, we have a relationship, but we need to talk about this. We have some concern, and we talk about it before it becomes a major issue. You know, who knows what's going to come around the bend tomorrow? We don't know what type of issue we're going to run into, but I think we have the relationships in this community with all segments of our community where hopefully they're going to trust us and contact us if they have a concern about anything. And I think that's the biggest step towards not having those big issues.
Thank you. We're talking to Police Chief Jerry Moore of the City of Salem. Chief, it's been great to have you on. And will you come back?
I mean, sure.
We touched on the homeless issue, but I think we could dive a little deeper there. We touched on topics like meth in the community, but I think we can dive on deeper there as far as drug-related crime and our situation. We dropped in street crime, burglary, all sorts of things. And I'd love to have you back if you don't mind coming back on Newsmakers.
I would be more than happy to come back, but I will also offer that some of the people where the rubber meets the road that I have in my organization would really be able to answer some of those questions because they deal with it all the time, too. So
yeah,
we'll be more than happy to do that.
That is great. We're taking ideas for future shows on Newsmakers and guests. And before we run out of time, I want to say thank you.
Thank you for having me.
We're in a week of Thanksgiving, and if you are waking up as an American, give thanks. If you're waking up and live in America, give thanks. If you're living in an area where you're not torn with war and strife and famine, give thanks. And as you're visiting relatives, be careful out there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is KYKN, Newsmakers at the News Hour, 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.